Hello and welcome back to the Footy Fix podcast. This has been perhaps one of the most entertaining weeks in football this season that has brought up many questions. But to start off, Baz, the tradition, I have a question for you. You ready?
I am ready.
I saw the ESPN FC crew talk about this. So here we go. Lewandowski, Benzema, Ronaldo. Start one, bench one, and drop one. Who are you picking?
All right. Actually, this one's going to be pretty easy. I think you start Ronaldo. I think anybody who's doing anything else, little cuckoo in the head. But for me, I'm going to bench Lewandowski and like cut loose Benzema because wow. I would rather have Benzema playing against me than Lewandowski. I think personally, Lewandowski is a little bit more clinical and a little bit more of a finisher. I think he's proven that in the past few years, the amount of goals he's been able to rack up. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather have him on my bench because then I know he's not going to be trying to score against me.
That's a good point. I feel like, I mean, Lewandowski has the numbers to prove it, and obviously you're going to start Ronaldo. You're going to have Ronaldo on your team anyway, right?
And that's not to discredit Benzema. Like, Benzema's still obviously an insane striker, but, I mean, I think Lewandowski is just a little bit better than him, so
100%.
That's why I keep him on the bench.
100%.
And now I have a question for you, Mr. Vitello.
Do you lot.
So, for me, in my opinion, you know, one of the biggest rivalries in the sport has been, for the past few years, Real and Barca. Yeah. But now with, you know, Messi and Ronaldo gone, who do you think is that new, like, biggest rivalry in the game?
Are you talking player for player or team for team?
Team for team.
Team for team. Well, with the way things are shaping up now in the landscape of the sport, I'm going to have to say Liverpool-Man City. And I think you can talk, like, they got the quality for our entertainment. They're mm-hmm. two of literally the best sides in football, no matter how much it pains me to say that because... God, I do hate Liverpool. they got the two best managers in world football. So, yeah, I do think it's Man City-Liverpool. And mm-hmm. Barca and Madrid will be back because Barca's on, you know, kind of the ups with Xavi now. But as it stands right now, 100% Manchester City and Liverpool is a bigger derby and a more entertaining derby right now.
Exactly what I thought you were going to say. I completely agree with you.
Absolutely. So we got that out of the way quickly. Now let's get into the real material. PSG versus Real Madrid this past week in the UEFA Champions League. They headed in with a 1-0 lead on aggregate. Meanwhile, Real Madrid win 3-1 at the Bernabeu via a Benzema hat-trick. Baz, what are we thinking about this game? What was your first reaction to Benzema scoring a hat-trick and really doing the impossible?
Well, I mean, you were sitting beside me. My first reaction was grab somebody and scream. But no, I think honestly, I have to say the first half of that game I thought was PSG's half. Mm-hmm. I think Real was lucky to escape only down 1-0 after the first half because Mbappe had so many chances. Neymar had a few chances. Courtois had to make some nice saves. You have to give credit to Mbappe as well, though, that goal. I mean, he just put his head down and powered that ball home. Courtois still got his big meaty paw on it, but somehow it still got through him. So I think it's kind of on PSG a little bit that it was their fault that they didn't capitalize more chances. They should have had harder shots on Courtois. That being said, Courtois made a great save when Mbappe tried to meg him a little bit later on to make it 2-0. Yep. But second half, I mean, talk about a game of two halves, right? You saw PSG that came out looking pretty poised to take the tie in the first half. Mm-hmm. And the second half all started with that Donnarumma, a little mistake from him.
Yeah.
And the second that they breathe a little bit of life back into the game for Real Madrid and let them come back in, it was over for. I mean, Real already kind of had a little bit of momentum at that point. Vinicius was playing awesome, I think. He wasn't winning every single dribble, but he had a lot of energy throughout the game and was constantly there, constantly a thorn in PSG's side, constantly something that needed attention.
Yeah.
And so I think that his energy, maxed with the energy of the crowd after that first goal, you could just tell that Real were going to be pressing and they were going to be all over them. And then, I mean, second goal, beautiful pass from Modric, Megan Kimbembe there, and then Benzema, clinical finish. And then, I mean, that third goal, just what a beautiful, beautiful finish by Benzema. Complete brain fart from Marquinhos. I don't know where it's written in soccer. When you want to get rid of it, play it square in your own 18 box.
Across
your goal. Yeah, I'm sure that's a beautiful back pass to be making at that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, Benzema, I mean, the technique on that to get it to the ball to spin sideways there and just right into the side of that netting. Just beautiful, beautiful goal. And I mean, all credit to him, right?
Yeah.
He had to do it, and they came in and they came out that second half hungry, and it showed that they wanted the game more than PSG did.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people are talking about a PSG collapse. I think we got to give some credit to Real Madrid here. Mm-hmm. And isn't it crazy to think about, like, Mbappe comes out that first half. It really was the Mbappe show. Messi was playing well. Neymar was playing well. But Mbappe, he scored a total of 3 goals. 2 of them were called offside. And I don't even remember that goal. The second one that was called off was that crazy, the fake, the dummy that went through his legs.
Oh,
that
such
was
a beautiful step over.
Shocking. Like, he was all over the field. PSG were dominating. And although Real were playing well, I think we really saw that, you know, this is just a case of the project is actually working. This front three is actually super lethal, and their whole team is working as one unit. And then, like you said, momentum. The momentum just shifted with that one little mistake. And to that point, it's just, you know, this is a Champions League game, Donnarumma. You're in the most coveted arena in football history. Just kick it out of bounds. Nobody's going to yell at you. Nobody's going to get mad. Just do the safe play. And he didn't, and now we're here talking about the project at PSG. And in terms, there's a lot of things to talk about with this, because I feel like this loss has a lot of implications. You know, PSG are no longer in their domestic cup. They are leading the league, but now a team that was quite literally built to win the Champions League is out in the round of 16. I think it would be more... It'd be easier to digest if we, you know, they exited in the semifinal or they exited in the final, but they didn't. This is way too early for this team. So if I'm Mbappe, you know, why stay, right? Would you stay if you're Mbappe, given the fact that you lost to the team that you want to sign for? Would you stay at PSG?
Yeah, no, I feel like, I swear, didn't he already have, I think he already has a verbal agreement with Real Madrid.
Verbal.
He came in January.
Verbal.
I know verbal means nothing. It has to be in writing, but. Yeah. No, I think Mbappe, he already had a foot out the door, and if anything, this just confirms it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was the only one that was able to beat Real Madrid.
Literally,
the only one who was scoring against them. Yeah. So, I mean, and if you're looking at that from his perspective, it's like, oh, I'm going to go and bolster this team and make them even better. They just, you know, not slapped us up, but they just dominated us for one half.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Mbappe, it's like, what makes him want to stay at PSG? He's been there for 3 years. He sees the unlimited resources they've had, and the lack of success they've had with those resources, right?
Yep.
So I think for him, it's just, it's onto a new place and to see if a new, you know, one of these super teams can be a fit for him and can be somewhere where he can have success.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. And this is just, I've never really seen one loss have such a huge toll on a group of players, on a coach, or on a team as an organization before, as
too.
A fan, right? Like, we didn't watch the game against Bordeaux on the weekend, but we watched the highlights and the constant boos, the anger from the players, and especially Pochettino. Whenever they scored a goal, no reaction. He was just upset because it's just looming in the back of their mind that this team, like, we can win Liga games here and there. We can, you know, go far in domestic tournaments, but We want to win the Champions League. That's why these guys are here, and they didn't do it. They're gone way too early. And at this point, I know it's pretty crazy. You know, it's pretty stupid for me to say, but what motivation do you have to play the rest of the season? They're 20 odd points up in League One. That's the only competition they're participating in. For the players, at least you can think about next season and the World Cup and stuff like that. But that's a long.
That's not what you want to be thinking
exactly,
about right
now,
man.
Yeah. It's a long way away. We're talking months in the future here in November, and I just think that I cannot help but think that this project has failed. Now the rumors that have come out of this loss, they are just there's a plethora of them. There's one I saw this morning that PSG are willing to sell Neymar. He's on a 4-year contract, or he's got 4 years left or 5 years left until 2026. And he is on ridiculous wages. Like, I don't think anybody's going to pick that up given his
form.
No
one else can afford type of wages.
Exactly. And then we talk about Messi, right? Like, Messi is having a very poor season up to his standards and a very poor season up to a lot of players' standards, not just his. He's not having the season that we thought he would at all. And then you think about the fact that Mbappe is most likely going to leave in the summer. The project has failed. Would you say this project is done? They had 1 year to do it, and now it's done. Do you think it's failed?
Yeah, I think that this kind of was their year to do it because they knew, like, Mbappe, that looming decision that he was going to make at the end. So I think they had this first kind of 6 months up until this December period to get Mbappe to re-sign for them. And I think they have failed it. And I thought one thing that was funny about the Bordeaux game, Mbappe was the only one of those big three that's getting cheered for, and he's the only one that's leaving the
I
club.
know, right?
So
Isn't
you
that
want to talk
crazy?
about a little bit of an issue between fans and the players. Like,
Yeah.
the guys that are staying are the ones you're booing and leering at, and the guy that's leaving is the one you're all clapping and so infatuated with. So
Yeah.
it's definitely a weird situation right now in Paris, to say the least. And I think Poch is going to be gone at the end of the season. I
Yeah.
mean, I don't see him staying. He had like unlimited resources and unlimited players, and no, it's a lot easier said than done, but you got to produce something. I mean, you got to produce more than just a league and with a team like that, in a league like that as well.
Yeah, I mean, and to go off of that, like this is a team that was molded to win the Champions League. This was a team that at the going into the season we looked at it, it's like this team is better than teams I've made on FIFA career mode. Like genuinely it is. Like they have all of the pieces to win absolutely everything, and that it just starts with that front three. Let alone Hakimi, let alone guys like Wijnaldum and Verratti and Marquinhos and Ramos and Kimpembe and like it's just the list goes on, and what comes out of it? Absolutely nothing. So I think this is honestly it's gonna have a really big mental toll on guys like Messi, on guys like Neymar, because Mbappe's got his whole career ahead of him. You know, he's won a World Cup. He's already breaking records left, right, and center. He's already the one of the hottest prospects in world football. Everybody wants him. But for guys like Messi and Neymar, who are 34 and 30, Messi not having won a Champions League since 2015, Neymar the same. Where do you go from here? Because honestly, the Messi stock was super hot last summer, coming off of a Ballon d'Or winning year, and I say that with a grain of salt because we both know he did not deserve it.
Yeah.
But
Lewandowski's been robbed 2 years in a row here.
exactly. But I mean, if you're Messi and Neymar, right? I don't think Neymar's done anything significant in the past 3 years. Messi's
No.
obviously his stock
Other
again,
than be injured.
exactly, and go to his sister's birthday parties.
Honest to
Again,
God.
Messi's stock was really, really high in the summer, and now it is just like honestly, like I would you sign Messi? Because if he can't perform in League One, who says he can perform in Serie
I
A
think
or Prem?
you still sign him. I think more than anything, though, what you're seeing is what a lack of competition in the league can lead to in terms of complacency in Europe. I
Yeah.
think that the biggest detriment to PSG is that the league that they're in is not competitive enough week in, week out to keep them in European shape. You look at leagues like the BPL, you look at leagues like Serie A. Anyone 1 to 20 in that table can win games every weekend, right? Obviously, it's a little bit bold to say that 1 to 20, because obviously there's bottom teams in every league. But in terms of the overall competitiveness of the leagues, the BPL, the Serie A, the Spanish leagues are all a lot harder than the French league is. And because of that, they get better practice. And I know they're professional footballers, they should all be good,
No,
this,
it's
that, and the
true
other.
though.
But it is true that, yeah, if you're playing better competition week in and week out, you're more used to the adversity. I think that's the biggest thing, is that
Yeah.
PSG and the league don't face enough adversity to overcome, that when it happens in Europe, they're scrambling because they don't usually face the adversity and they don't usually have to deal with the pressure and the issues of the big games, where when it comes in Europe, they're not really ready for it, and leads to things like this happening, where you have all these players and all this money, but you can't be successful.
Yeah, and to that point, not only do they have like a lack of competition, but they really don't have any big domestic games throughout the season. Like we see, and especially in the EPL, right? Like everybody talks about Man U and like Liverpool. Oh, are they going to be able to win against Atletico and against Inter? And the answer is most likely they probably will because they have these big high stakes game in the Premier League almost all the
Week in,
time,
week out.
right? There is not a top four, there's a top six. And games against Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham, Man City, those are big games with a lot of implications, and they're really good tests for the European competitions. So I just think that PSG has a lack of that, a lack of any real competition, like you were
And
saying.
that's not even mentioning teams like Leicester, teams like
Exactly,
West
the
Ham,
middle of the
teams like
table
that that
teams,
aren't
yeah.
necessarily top six teams, but as middle of the table teams still apply more pressure than like
Yeah.
SM Kane can apply on PSG, or like Strasbourg is going to apply on
Yeah,
PSG.
yeah. Yeah,
You know what I
100%,
mean?
100%. So, yeah, we've deemed that this project has failed. And I guess it's kind of sad to say, but at the same time, like I'm very happy to say it because they just, you know, you can't just buy every star in the world and expect
Yeah,
to win
it's nice to
trophies.
see.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that sometimes the oil money doesn't work out.
Exactly. Moving on, Inter take down Liverpool at Anfield, but it isn't enough to progress them to the quarterfinal. Liverpool win 2-1 on aggregate. Was this an exciting game, or was this another lackluster game that we saw between these two sides?
I thought it was an exciting game. You know, the score doesn't always reflect the game.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, you saw Salah hit two posts there.
Yeah.
At the end, oh, I forgot his name, the young striker. He came close at the end there.
Diaz,
and Vidal made
Louis
an absolute,
Luis Diaz.
Yes. Oof. He made an absolute last-ditch tackle, yeah. Vidal did. So I thought it was a good back-and-forth game. The goal, I mean, I don't know who thought of this first, but I've been seeing so many players taking goal kicks.
Yeah.
And the goal, Van Dijk takes the goal kick, gives it to Matip. Matip doesn't have Van Dijk supporting him on the left now, and someone's coming from there. And so he's got to turn right. And then he kind of pulls a Harry Maguire and just bricks like a pylon and doesn't know what to do with the ball. But that leads to him making a terrible pass, ball getting the back to Lautaro. And oh, let's talk about that finish because, wow. Oh my, it's not like that was an easy goal. Outside of the box, screamer. It's coming from his left, yeah, and shooting it with his right.
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely a beautiful shot right in that top corner. There's nothing Alisson can do about that. So complete credit to Lautaro for the screamer. But just weird tactics there for, like, I don't get it. Like, why
like
not
it?
Let your goalie take your goal kick? I don't like it personally. I've seen, I mean, Juve are doing it too.
A lot of teams
I don't
are,
know.
Yeah, I guess.
A lot of teams are doing it more. I guess it's the new thing.
I guess
maybe
it's...
I'm behind in the times, but. and then, yeah, I just also think Alexis, that challenge was just questionable.
Oh, I know. Both of them could have been red.
I know he got the ball. But you cannot be going in with your cleats up like that when you know you're going to make contact afterwards. You can claim ball all you want, but you know, even if you get the ball, if you're going to go into a challenge like that where you know contact is going to be made, you have to keep your cleats down.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you get the ball, the ref will card you.
Yep.
And it was the second one, and it was against Fabinho again. So I think the ref has no choice there.
No,
like
no.
You basically, you're making your own bed there. And then you're all like, oh, you're grabbing your shin pads and you're confused and you're this and you're that. That's what I hate too.
Yeah.
When players make dumb decisions in the moment. And then afterwards, like, oh, now I got to backtrack here and make it look like I'm surprised and it's not my fault. So I think that was a pivotal moment in the game. Cause at that point, Inter, as much as Liverpool were still obviously threatening to score, Inter have their momentum there. And mm-hmm. that happened, I think, like 4 or 5 minutes after the goal scored.
It was quick.
So you kill any momentum, right?
Yep.
As Sanchez there. Yep. And I mentioned Vidal earlier. I just wanted to mention him again because ex-Juventino.
Yeah.
I thought he, not necessarily in terms of like statistics and production, because obviously they didn't end up winning,
yep,
but he was all over the pitch. I saw him in the attacking box. I saw him in the defensive box. He was blocking shots. He was putting balls through. That man was everywhere. And he's like 38. So that was just absolutely impressive. And you love to see it. You love to see a return to his form.
You do.
That he used to have back in the day with us.
No, he had a fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it was a good game. I liked the game overall.
Yeah, no, Vidal had a fantastic game, I thought. And again, I'm not a big fan of him either, but he was, like you said, he was all over the field. But yeah, I mean, a big thing that we see in these games and the common theme is momentum. And mm-hmm. like we saw in the Real Madrid game, one little mistake just can turn the tide so, like, in so heavily in one team's favor. And I think that Alexis Sanchez, it was the same. It was like watching the same challenge from the first half that honestly could have been a red, given that ref was letting a lot go. But however, that could have been a red any other day, any other game, whether it's domestically 100%. Or European. So he just, I think he got a little too excited. He was all over the field, but it's just, you got to know not to do that, right? Like, you have to understand that. You guys just scored the biggest goal of the game so far, the only goal of the game, I guess. But now you're back in the tie. Now there's a chance, and there's no
2-1, and you still have like 35 minutes.
Exactly, and even though there's no away goal rule, it kind of works out in your favor because you tie the game up, and it's still 2-2. And then who knows after that? Once you draw the game, who knows? But all of that momentum is gone. So, I just found, in terms of the game, I found that. It's just a case of Inter went up against a team that were much better than them. And Liverpool are just, they're just too strong. They're too well coached. They're, at this point, they're far too experienced for a team like an Inter who hasn't gotten to the round of 16 in God knows how long, even though they've been in the Champions League. But I want to talk about Mane and Salah. I know Salah hit two posts this
two
game.
Posts, yeah.
He is leading the Premier League in goals with 20, and he's got 8 Champions League goals so far. Now, an interesting statistic that I wanted to bring up here, and this is Champions League, we're going to throw that to the side for a minute. He's got 20 Premier League goals. 13 of those 20 goals came against teams that were lower than 10th in the standings. So I'm asking you this. A lot of people do think he is a top three player in the world at the moment. Is Salah one of the best players in the world? Nay, is he top three?
Yeah, okay. So I don't know if he's top three right now, but then you're going to have to make, honestly, right as of this exact moment in time, I don't think so, because my top three right now, I would have Ronaldo. I mean, as much as people want to say, oh, he hasn't scored in a while, I think he showed with that the last Tottenham game, which we're going to talk about later, just how lethal he still is and how much he can still just completely take over and win games. Yep. I think Mbappe, if he's not top three right now in the world, I don't know what you're doing, because he is scoring goals out the wazoo right now. Yeah. And I still have to give Lewandowski respect.
Yep.
I think that he was robbed the last 2 years, and I think he's still having a great season this year. Yeah. So I'd put them above Salah personally.
Yeah, and
I'd say no, Salah's not top. What about you? You have Salah in top three?
I don't have Salah in top three at the moment. I have him in my top five to seven, maybe. I mean, there are a lot
He's 100% top 10.
Yeah, no, he's top 10 for sure, but then I look around and I see guys like Benzema and Lewandowski, and Ronaldo is starting to come into that conversation now, especially with that result, because that wasn't just a normal hat trick with a penalty. That was a special hat trick. And then you got guys like Mbappe. I think Mbappe, as of this moment, is the best player in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But then you also got other like different sorts of players. Like Van Dijk could be part of that conversation with the season he's having.
That's true.
Like you could also include Kevin De Bruyne now that he's back in form. You could also include Riyad Mahrez, because he is the only other player in the Prem with 20 goal contributions in both competitions. So there's a lot of players in the mix here, but I think that stat really goes against him. And you can fight that by saying he got a hat-trick against Man U, he's got two goals against Chelsea, he's got goals against City. You can say that. Those seven missing goals from that stat are against the big six and the big teams in England.
Mm-hmm.
But 13 to 20 against bottom table teams, you know, we're getting a little freaky there. We're getting a little interesting. Things are getting a little dicey. Moving on to the EPL this weekend, Manchester United, probably one of the most exciting games of this week. They win 3-2 against Tottenham, effectively eliminating the Spurs from Champions League contention. It is almost statistically impossible for Tottenham to make the top four now, considering that Arsenal are ahead of them, both in points and games played, and that they lost both their games against Man U. So obviously your first reaction, the Ronaldo hat-trick. Tell me about it.
Ridiculous. Just Ronnie doing what Ronnie does at the end of the day, man. They want to doubt him. They want to tell him he can't do it. He's going to go out and do it. The first goal, I mean, what can you say about that?
Vintage.
Who's getting there? Just Ronaldo and those 900-pound thighs just breaking balls right in the top corners.
Yeah.
To the Spurs' credit, former Juventino again, Kulusevski, absolutely loved him. So sad to see him go.
Yeah, he's really good.
That first goal was, I know Harry Kane, H. Kane is what's going to say on the score sheet, but that was caused by Kulusevski.
Yep.
Got the ball on the wing, tight space. Meg Sancho kind of made Sancho look a little bit like a dunce. and then a beautiful cross in that, you know, catches Telles' arm. And then that leads to the penalty, and Kane's going to slot that away. That being said, Sancho did make up for it. Great run and lovely assist for Ronaldo's second goal there. Just beautiful slot across the box. And I mean, you don't even have to be Ronaldo to make that.
No.
You can be anybody if you're 3 feet
except
away from
for
the goal.
Sterling. You can't be Sterling.
Raheem Sterling might miss that. Or honestly, Timo Werner, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
he definitely would have missed it. And then you saw, you know, Harry Maguire try and take the game away.
Do you remember when
Harry Maguire stamp on the game?
Do you remember when I said the football, you know, is acting up, and you're like Fred, and I'm like, no, the other one.
No.
You're like Harry Maguire own goal right away, just popped into your head, like you knew it right away was going on.
Yeah, he is a terror to the game of football, but it is what it is. And then, I mean, who else is gonna score in the last gasps of the game?
Nobody.
Who else is gonna score other than Ronaldo?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and how many times have we seen him head the ball into the net? Like, it's gonna be your day. I swear he probably has more header goals than half these guys have scoring goals.
He
like with their legs.
I think the stat he's got over 125 goals from headers.
Yeah,
which is
like
insane.
that's more than, let's say, like 60% of soccer players have scored in their careers.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy,
just ridiculous.
It's crazy, and the accuracy and the power he gets from it. And what I liked about, obviously, we could talk about the first goal, which is just vintage Ronaldo, like vintage just. And it was weird
Screamer.
because Dyer let him have the space. It's like he forgot about who he was. It's just it looked like he said, "No, come on, shoot from there. Let's see. Your form's been bad the last 9 games. Shoot. This is what you get, right? This is what you get for being cocky and giving Ronaldo, like, it wasn't even a foot of room. It was a good 4 or 5, even 6 yards. And what do you
It was a
expect?
breath of space.
Yeah, and then the second goal was a tap-in, but what a beautiful link-up play, especially from Sancho. But that third goal, like, there's something about a Ronaldo header that just gets me going. Like, I'm telling you, that as soon as that ball came off of Telles's foot from the corner, you just saw that nobody else was going to get to that ball other than Ronaldo. Like, the determination to get past Dyer, to jump over Doherty, and to just rifle it into the top corner. Just top bins. Lloris at a standstill, couldn't handle it. And I think that obviously in the past 9 games, he's had a very bad run of form. Only one goal in his past nine. There's been speculation that he was injured, and you know, it's really what you believe at the end of the day. I think it's a bit of both. Think players go through bad form, whatever. But of course, he caps it off with the most stunning and breathtaking of hat tricks. And that is just, that's Ronaldo. And I'm not going to get angry anymore, because there's absolutely no point on getting mad at people who hate him, Ronaldo, because at the end of the day, they just eat their words. They're silenced. And this is a classic example of it. And in my opinion, I love seeing it, but I'm very excited to see if he can retain this form to Atletico.
Going
Because if
forward,
I'm,
yeah.
let me tell you, if I'm Atletico right now, I'm shaking in my
Oh,
boots
so
after
nervous.
seeing that.
So
Because,
nervous.
and I'm not only that, I'm angry, because it's like, again, like, you have to score that hat trick now, right before this tie. Again, you're gonna just shaft us.
Seems
So
like no matter where he is in the world, he's always going to be playing
it's just
Atletico.
like it always, and I love it. It's my favorite thing in the world. But hopefully he captures a run of form. But let's talk, the actual match itself had a lot of implications, and I know Arsenal are really poised to get that top spot. Obviously, if you take a look at the table, they are 3 games in hand of Man United and 2 points. So this is it's Arsenal's to lose, but this is a really big win for United, because they've taken out a competitor. And Tottenham, they statistically, it's not impossible yet. I mean, anything can happen in football, but
Practically
we
impossible,
know that they're not going to make the top four. So really, it's going to come down to the two red teams, and I couldn't tell you who could make it. But let's use that as a segue into our next segment here, Baz. If you were to predict the top four right now, and again, we are what, I think we're 29 matches in so far, 28 matches in. How do you see it shaping up?
I'm gonna be boring because I see the top four shaping up exactly how it is right now. I think the one and two, I don't see anybody catching Man City. I don't see anybody catching
No.
Liverpool. I think that's pretty much set in stone. And I think it's gonna stay like that one and two. I think Man City's gonna win the league this year. I think Liverpool are gonna be runners up again. And Chelsea, they're catching heat at the right time, unbeaten in their last five. So I think they're gonna stay in third. I think they're pretty comfortably in third right now. And I don't see anybody really challenging them for it. And Arsenal are currently 1 point up on Man U and 3 games in hand. And they are again catching fire at the right time. They're playing well now. They have a lot of momentum. They're winning games. They just beat Leicester 2-0. So I don't see, if everything stays the way it is right now, I don't see that top four changing. I don't see Man U being able to make up the ground that they're going to be losing, because Arsenal have 3 games. And let's say I'm just going to say 2 wins and a draw, or sorry, 2 wins and a loss. So they only get 6 points out of it. There's 7 points up on Man U. And there's only 11 games left in the season. So it's not to say it's an insurmountable gap, but it's a pretty big gap, right? And that's to say if they lose a game, if Arsenal wins all three of their games, then they're 10 points up with 11 games
Then it's
left in the season.
impossible at that
And
point.
then, yeah, it's basically impossible for Man U to come back. So it's a boring take, but it's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to stay one, two, three, four, how it is now. That being said, I think if there is any variation, it would just be Man U for Arsenal. In terms of Man U being fourth and Arsenal being fifth, because West Ham and Wolves are both 2 and 3 points respectively back of Man U. and they both have 29 games played like Man U. So they're like even farther back than Man U is of Arsenal. So there's no shot that they could even get close to fourth.
Yeah, that conversation between them two is over. It was like it was a good fairy tale story for a minute there, but I think that they're
going to be sixth and seventh this year.
I'm going to have to change it up, and I'm going to take the belief route.
So you're going Man U fourth then?
Yeah, I mean, but looking at the table right now, honestly, that's not even the most interesting thing I'm thinking of. I'm looking at the gap between Chelsea and Arsenal, which is only 8 points, and Arsenal have two games in hand. And I'm looking at that match where Arsenal and Chelsea play. So there could be a bit of variation there, but I think you're right. That top three is pretty much solidified. But what's interesting is that in the remaining games, Arsenal have Chelsea, Liverpool left. They obviously they beat Leicester today. So those are two big games. And if they lose those games, then, you know, we are talking.
That Chelsea game is going to be a huge game. That's going to be, if the worst case that could happen for Man U is a draw on that.
Yeah, literally.
Because then both teams get points, sorry.
Literally. That's going to be a big game. But that being said, Man United also play Chelsea and Liverpool. So it's going to be really interesting. And I want to be optimistic about their situation. I want to be hopeful. But, I mean, realistically here, like, there's what? There's a 9 games left for Man United. Is the EPL season 38 games? I believe it is.
I believe it's 38. Oh, did I say? I said 11 earlier. I can't do
no,
that.
No, Arsenal it's do 29. Have 11 game.
No, Arsenal have 12 games, if they have 26.
Yeah, so.
I was thinking the guys with 20. Wow, we gotta get to math. Like, just math class overall.
Yeah, no, there's 8 games, 9 games, excuse me, left for.
Yeah, so no, I don't see anybody catching Arsenal for that fourth.
Yeah, Man United. And like the maximum amount of points they can get this year, 77. I mean, like, is that really enough? And are they going to win? Are they going to go 9?
I don't think they're winning out either. No, there's going to be a few more games.
I would say it's
where Fred and Harry are going to leave their mark on the game.
And I think it's like it's optimistic to say that they'll end with 67 or 68 points. 77 is just, it's not possible.
Pushing
and it. But again, with that being said, I'm hoping that Arsenal will pull an Arsenal and just like they will lose against the most thing is like they lose against Chelsea and Liverpool, and then Man United beat them, and there's your gap gone. Like, there's those three games in hand, gone. You've gotten nothing from them, which is very possible. It's very possible.
Yeah. For a long time, pulling an Arsenal meant coming fourth, though, so they might pull an Arsenal here.
Yeah, I know, but, like, for recent history, we know Arsenal
to be... Yeah, no, I know.
Atrocious.
They're known to not be the greatest.
Exactly. But, yeah, that's what I hope for. Mm-hmm. I do see a little bit of a choke, to be completely honest with you. I do see a bit of a choke. It's completely possible.
It's viable. It's for viable
because sure of only because of Chelsea and Liverpool, and of course that Man U game, which that is actually going to be the biggest game of the season for those two clubs right there.
Which, Man U versus Arsenal?
Yeah.
Oh, that's still coming up.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be the biggest, and then also each of their respective games against Chelsea will be huge for both
clubs. Yeah. Yes, because I think Liverpool is almost a write off at this point. Like, you know, you're gonna
Liverpool and Man City, they're 1-2. That's write off. Yeah, you know, in terms of them being up and in terms of them beating other teams, I don't see anybody else in the Premier League being able to touch them except for each other.
Yeah, you're dropping points, but so yeah, I mean, like our same top four list, except we'll swap out
Man U and Arsenal.
Yeah, and that's pretty much pretty similar. I'm hoping so. Let's pray now.
Well, I believe that is all the time that we have for today. On behalf of Ben and I want to say thank you to everybody who watches. We love all of you. And you know, we hope to see you same time next week. Come tune in.